Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 163, the Stitch Twerker episode. If you want to know what that means, listen to the first quilt diary. It is Wednesday, April 22nd, 2015. It's been a good week so far. I'm getting lots of work done on a new book. I am almost done sewing on the binding to the Big Star quilt. In fact, I may be done tonight because we've got Modern Family, Blackish, and Broadkirk. That's what we call it, Broadchurch, but we like saying Broadkirk. One of the nice things about this week is there hasn't been a whole lot going on. There was a Quilt Guild meeting on Monday night, and I talk about that in another quilt diary, I think Quilt Diary Day 2. But other than that, I've just been working. And tonight after dinner, I actually went into my weedy garden and started unweeding, de-weeding, or I guess we just call it weeding. One of the interesting things every year with the garden is to see what came back that you weren't really expecting to come back. And this year I had this big just section of blue phlox. It's beautiful. I didn't know it was a perennial, and maybe it wasn't, although we had a cold winter that you would think would kill off all the annuals. And in fact, in my containers, some dianthus that I've had forever and ever finally got killed off. And that's an annual that came back for really 4 or 5 years. Finally gone. So anyway, I think that the rest of this week is supposed to be nice, so I'm going to be writing and I'm going to be getting the weeds out, clearing it out, ordering some mulch, and getting serious about the spring garden. It's time. In any event, I want to thank everyone who commented on episode 162. I appreciate you taking the time. I heard from Noni, who had really good things to say about Peppercory. I'm just very big on Peppercory. She's very cool. If you have a chance to see her, and I'm sure if you have a chance to take a class with her, Tori emailed me and said she had a great class with Peppercory pretty recently. I recommend that you do. I got some great comments, some other great comments from Noni, which if you're interested in Jenny Byers versus Barbara Brackman in terms of their block system, I recommend that you go into the comments section and read them. One of the things that Noni said that really made me want to get a hold of the Jenny Byers book was that Jenny Byers' block organization is based on a grid system and design elements. She's known for designing her own blocks, quilts, and methods. The book discusses the very sources of the blocks, i.e. Nancy Page newspaper and catalog offerings, Ladies Art Company, Laura Wheeler, and Alice Brooks. And in the research I'm doing right now about 1930s quilting, all of these names are very familiar to me. And that was a really interesting time. I think that I don't know when the mail order stuff really started, but it certainly blossomed in the 1930s, where women were ordering patterns and transfers and all kinds of stuff via the mail. And women were making, designers were making a nice income off cottage industries where they were designing quilts. I was reading today about a designer in Nashville, Tennessee named Ann Orr. And she was actually quite wealthy, but she sold tons of designs. And she wrote about quilts and other needlework for good housekeeping for in the 30s and 40s, but did not make quilts or do needlework. And she just liked to design, and she had studied art. And her quilt designs are interesting to me because she used, if I say a grid pattern, I mean like graph paper, which I think is how in art school at that time people learned to design. And so these quilts, I'm looking at this book called Soft Covers for Hard Times, which is about quilting during the Depression, focusing on quilts in Tennessee. And so she used graph paper, and she designed these quilts that really look like primitive computer art. If you can remember, those of us who are a little bit older can remember how you would print stuff out. You know, you would get like clip art, but it was all still in that kind of in a grid. You know, you would see the little, it was all, there were no curves, right? And do you know what I mean? So, I mean, it's very, let's say like Pac-Man-esque, because that doesn't quite get at it. But if you can think about if you designed something on a piece of graph paper and you just put colors in the little squares, that's how these quilts look. And of course, they would have no idea that, you know, 90 years, well, 70 or 80 years later, no, 60, 50 years later, that there would be computers and, well, I'm just going on, but you know what I'm saying. But it's funny because I actually don't find her designs all that attractive, but I think it's because of my experience with early computer clip art and art in general from, you know, those just that blocky stuff. So, yes. So anyway, so lots of good stuff from Noni. I heard from Suzanne, and who just was very nice. I think at the end of last week's episode, I got a little, I don't know, it just got weird. Sometimes I don't know how to close things out, and so I just ramble and say weird things. So anyway, I think I guilt-tripped some people into like commenting, and Suzanne very kindly did. Thank you, Suzanne, and thank you, Lynn. And people were very kind again about the quilting on the Big Star quilt, and Lynn was especially. I heard from Ellen. Very exciting. Ellen is in Paducah, Kentucky right now. It's quilt week. And she said that she posted this last week that she would be at Paducah this week with two of her friends. They leave from Scotland. They left yesterday from Scotland and they left Monday and they arrived yesterday in Paducah in time to attend the prize giving ceremony. Her friend Kay, who she's traveling with, had two quilts accepted into the show. And last week, one of them was used on the show's website to advertise the show. That's very exciting. And Ellen finds it especially, as she says, brilliant, since the horse and its rider, this quilt commemorates a very historic Scottish battle. So, you know, and I saw a list of prize winners today, Ellen, and I forgot to check to see if Kay was on it. I will go back and look. Ellen also recommended a book, H is for Hawk by Helen McDonald. And Ellen, that is on my list. I was thinking that might make for a good book to read at the beach this summer. But it does sound wonderful. And it's actually, you know, it's on the New York Times bestseller list on the nonfiction side of things. So anyway, thank you for that recommendation. It makes me want to read the book even more. Heard from Quilton Jenny, and it is killing her that she's not going to be in Kentucky during the Paducah show. But it's over 3 hours away for her. Yeah. One day, we're going to make it, Jenny. We're going to get to Paducah. Heard from Lindsay. And this is important. Lindsay, so she got a Fitbit, and she wants to know where the groups of people are on Fitbit. Lindsay, you need to go to, I'm pretty sure it's the Quilt Casters group. Let me check. I'm going to pause, and I'm going to check that really quick for you. Okay, it's the Quilt Cast Fitbitters. So go there, Lindsay. That's where we are. There are 98 of us. I have been falling in the ranks this last few weeks. If you'll recall, I hurt my foot pretty badly a few weeks ago, and it's much better. But I'm not doing the 15,000 to 18,000 steps I was doing before. Now I'm really kind of down around 10,000, and that's not enough to get me up in the top tier. Anyway, so join us. Come, you can beat me like everyone else does who friends me on Fitbit. Heard from Kelly the Fifth, who actually just commented on Ellen's comment, but that's okay. I talk among yourselves. That's fine by me. And Laura posted this. And this is important. I'm so glad you commented and said this because I wanted to announce that my friend Annie Smith is podcasting again. I haven't listened yet, but I plan to, and I'm subscribed. So go and subscribe to her again. She's back, which is very exciting. So yay. Glad to have a podcast. I got another comment from Kelly the Fifth. And she always likes the birdie sounds. Kelly, there's not as many bird sounds. I think in the first quilt diary, I sat next to the window for you, but it was a little chilly. So yeah. But I have to tell you, yes, the birds, it's a racket. And some of them, and they're these little tiny, I don't know if they're wrens or sparrows, But they are so loud. And one of them kind of goes off like at 5 a.m. Just starts singing right like in the dogwood tree behind our bed, which on the outside in the yard. It's not, you know that we don't have a dogwood tree growing in our room, although I would love that. Anyway, lots of birds, loud birds. It's beautiful. This time of year is so much fun. Heard from Kate from Quilting Daydreams, who, if I recall correctly, was a podcaster a few years ago. But I know she had a very busy life. But Kate, you should think about podcasting. I love listening to you. And she loves the big star. So we're very happy with one another. But it was really good to hear from you. Heard from Very Lazy Daisy, who flippin' loves this quilt. She, big star quilt. Thank you. Yes. And she also, another vote for Peppy Corey. Hey, Pep. Pepper Corey does indeed rock. Lazy Daisy met her at Market. I think that's Houston. And she's phenomenal. Very easy to talk to. Wonderfully talented teacher. And Daisy really likes her fabrics, which Pepper talked about at the Quilt Guild meeting, and about their shot cottons. And she also talked about how there's absolutely no money in fabric design. So keep that in mind. Heard from Jay, who reviewed the Jenny Beyer block book and the Barbara Backman book over at Art Quilt Maker, and the link is in the comments. And finally, I heard from Amy Laura, and she's a little concerned that Annie Smith might get jealous of my new best friend, Pepper. Yeah, I know. There may be, Annie's always going to be first in my heart. She got here first, but, well, we'll just let them duke it out. Thank you, for Amy, Laura, also for the very kind comments on Big Star. Again, I'm almost done binding it. There's some places I'm trying to be very careful. There are some places where I am redoing the quilting. I mean, not tearing it out, just because I didn't do a good job of securing the ends. And so, I just feel like it's not secure. And so it's just like a line here and a line there. I was emailing with my friend Kristen and about this and saying, you know, one of the interesting thing to me about straight line quilting is, on the one hand, it's really simple. And on the other hand, it's really hard. I think it's easier to mess up, which seems odd because you're just doing straight lines. And I did mark to make that easier. But it's like if you're doing spirals, if you're doing free motion and it's all funky and groovy and modern, there's a lot of leeway. There's not a lot of leeway with a straight line. It's either a line or it's not, right? Or a straight line or it's not. To the straight line or it's a funky line. And lines get funky pretty fast if you're me. But I think you're going to like the quilt. I do have a couple pictures. I did one very moody black and white picture, which doesn't even really look like the quilt, but I just didn't know my camera had that function. I found that by accident. I'm like, oh, cool. So you can get an idea. But I, of course, next week we'll have pictures of the completed quilt and maybe even a quilt video. I did do a label, by the way, and on the label I credited the designer, although the quilt is really based on this design because I made changes to it. But you know, people, I still, you know, trying to be historically correct, and I felt like, hey, I'm gonna give some credit where credit is due. I certainly used a whole lot of the quilt. She did. In fact, I used the designer's pattern exactly in terms of dimensions, in terms of the star and the stuff around the star. It's just I added a few elements. So I hope you're proud of me. All right, my dears, it's time to move on to the quilt diaries. Oh, but don't forget to comment, because you know how I love comments. I really do. I really do. And you're so kind to me. You're so good to me. So come over to the offkilterquilt.wordpress.com or email me fdowell@nc.rr.com. I love to hear from you. All right, now on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It's Thursday, April 16th. Happy post-tax day.
It's nice to have that out of the way. I think taxes are a big hassle at any time if you're doing them yourself, which I don't think we should be doing. And finally, I think the man agrees with me because we have complicated stuff because, yes, taxes are hard to do on your own, period. And then if you have one person in your family, one of the bread earners who is an independent contractor type, I don't think that's what I really am, but Simon and Schuster takes no taxes out of my checks. And when I go to schools and do author, I want to say performances, but that's not right, although sometimes that is what it feels like, author visits, they don't take taxes out either. So we pay quarterly, and some years, and that's all estimate, what we think I might make. But you know, it changes from year to year. And sometimes we overestimate, which is helpful at tax time. Although disappointing in real life. And some years, like this year, I have to say I had a good year because like National Geographic bought the rights to a Phineas L. McGuire book, which was really cool. But that means we underestimated, which makes me feel good about myself personally as a wage earner. But it's a little more, hurts a little bit more on tax day. So anyway, but it's over. It's over. It's April 16th. I'm sitting here looking at this diary I've been keeping. It's not a, it's a day book. And I can't remember if I've talked about this. Will gave me a very pretty notebook for Christmas. And no, that my people know me. They know I love notebooks. And journals and all the, and stationery, all that kind of, all paper products. I'm, you know, with maybe the exception of paper cups, I am into. And so he gave me this beautiful journal, blank sheet, blank sheets as opposed to line. And I decided to keep a day book, which I have done once before, but maybe did it for a month. And in the day book, it's not the same as a diary because you're not recording your innermost feelings and thoughts. It's just recording what we did. And there, you know, there can be commentary. I mean, there are no rules. There, so I should say, there might, sometimes I comment on stuff, but it's a little different than having a calendar because, for instance, in my day book, I might put for Will's baseball game on Friday night that they lost 8-0. Was it? No, it was Monday night. They finally played the big team, the big mean team. And to be honest, I think they could have played a lot better, but they were a little psyched out because they knew this was the team that everyone thinks is the best team. And you know what? It is a really good team. It's got some really good pitching, but our team does too. But I think, you know, it's sports psychology. It's fascinating. Fascinating. Just how we can psych ourselves up out or pump ourselves up. So anyway, with my day book on my calendar, it just says Will game HS for Hillside High School, which is the field they play at sometimes. He doesn't play high school ball. This little South Durham Little League uses Hillside's fields. You know, and say 7:15. But in my day book, I actually write down the score and if Will got a hit, which he actually didn't, although he went down swinging, and that's all we ask for. Or if he pitched or what have you. I also, in my day book, every day I write down what we had for dinner. I haven't gone through it yet. I should, maybe I'll do this June 1st. Go through the first half of the year. Although, is the first half of the year started June 1st or June 30th? I'll have to think about that. January, February, March. I don't know. Anyway, and look at how many repeats we've had. It's interesting. What are your most repeatable? Are repeated meals. In the winter, it's probably Sunday pot roast, which is a big hit with everyone except for Will because the meat is wet. Yeah, I know. Gosh. Having a picky eater for a child. Well, you know, there are worse things. We'll keep it in perspective. Jack really loves mushu, so we do mushu every, at least once a month. I love spaghetti. And I probably love it more than anybody else in the family. So we have that every few weeks. But I don't repeat that much. We have certain things we repeat, like Saturday night pizza. We always have Saturday night pizza. And Fridays is kind of a slack cooking time for me. So like tomorrow night is Friday night, and I think we'll just have hamburgers. Will's got a game, although it's been raining the last couple of days, so that the fields may be too wet. But hamburgers or my favorite, write this down. Because it's like the easiest meal in the world, which is spinach linguine. You get some cream spinach, some Stouffer's cream spinach, a little pack, and you cook it in the microwave and you cook up a bunch of linguine. I'm very into the whole wheat pasta now. not only because it's, you know, it's better than white flour for you, for your health, but it's kind of got a nutty, I'm getting into the texture. It took a while. They've gotten a lot better with whole grain and whole wheat pastas, quite frankly. But anyway, but cook up a pot of pasta, about 12 ounces of pasta. You grind up or grate some Parmesan cheese, and you drain the pasta. You mix in the cream spinach and a little bit of Parmesan, and I like to put a pinch of nutmeg. Easiest dinner in the world. It's good. It's tasty. I recommend it. That's a good Friday night dinner that gets repeated. So anyway, so my day book has that. If I've been working, like one of the things that I've put down is like working on Big Star Quilt. And I put down whatever manuscript I'm working on, whatever projects I'm working on. So it'll be interesting. But the funny thing about my day book is for some reason the last few weeks, and I don't quite know why this is, what's changed in my schedule, but I haven't been as good about keeping up with it. And what I find is, you know, it's hard to backtrack even 2 days. So I sat down Monday morning, and usually I'll put, you know, I'll start in the morning and I'll just write with the weather, sunny and warm. And that's all I put. And then I had to think, what else did happen Monday? What did we do? And I can, you know, and it's like, okay, I worked backwards. Okay, we Will had a baseball game. What did we have? We had like a hodgepodge kind of dinner thing going on. I think I made something. I can't remember. I like French, various permutations. We had some leftover grilled chicken, and I think Jack ended up having grilled cheese, and Will had French toast. You know, I mean, it's just, yeah. It's just one of those nights, because a lot of times the man works on Monday night, so it's not just Will's game, it's the man. If, you know, if daddy's not around, then mommy's not cooking that seriously. So a lot of times when the man covers the state legislature, so and when it's in session, they meet Monday night. That's when the legislators come back into town from home. And yeah, so a lot of times that's French toast and bacon night. In any event, that's all recorded in my day book. So so I had to work back from dinner, you know, and then like, well, what happened before that? I'm like, well, you know, and I thought, what did I work on? Did I do any quilting? Did I do, you know, and yes. And then, but that's just, it's Thursday, you know? So going back to Monday and going, yeah, what was interesting about this day? I can remember the meals. I can remember the meals because I have them written down, because I plan out a menu for each week. So then I have to work around that. But when you keep it daily, that's when a lot of times you'll note more interesting small things. So there you have it. So my day book, yeah, we'll see. It should be an interesting document of 2015. So what am I up to? Some more on quilting. I've been thinking about the difference between straight line quilting and free motion quilting. And straight line in some ways is much easier because, one, you can draw it out. And with free motion, you can also draw it out. But straight line, you draw it out and you just have to draw lines. And that is really quite easy. You just use a marker and, yeah, a ruler. You got it. Straight line. But I think when you're doing free motion quilting, you have a little more freedom in, how would you describe it? Just, you know, if you mess up in free motion quilting, I don't think it's quite as noticeable. Maybe, but I don't know. One of the things about this quilt, of course, is it's all solid fabric. So, like, quilting the mosaic quilt, the little flowers that I did on the mosaic blocks, it's all against fabric, against prints, so you can mess it up and it doesn't really matter. And I was not aiming for uniformity. So maybe that's what my thought is with free motion quilting. In certain instances, a lack of uniformity is okay, and in fact, maybe even desirable. In straight line quilting, you kind of need to stick to the job at hand. And the stupid thing I've done with this quilt, not with the quilt, but with the quilting, is I stopped using my super slider And the reason I stopped is I was having problems keeping it stable on the sewing machine, what do we call that, plate. And I kept sewing into it, which is a pain in so many ways. And, you know, this was not an inexpensive little piece of, I don't even know what it is. Is it rubber? The closest thing is like a rubber that's been treated in a way that it's slidey. This is the small one, not inexpensive. And so I just kind of felt like, wow, I'm tearing this up. And maybe because this quilt, the Big Stars quilt, is such a small quilt, relatively speaking. I mean, compared to the mosaic quilt, I mean, this is tiny. So maybe I don't need the super slider as much for this. But you know, I think I do. I think I need to figure out my problem with it shifting, because what's happening with the straight lines, I find myself maneuvering the fabric more than I think I should be. And it's not that I'm going offline in terms of my quilt markings, my quilting markings. It's that the stitch length, because I am tugging a little bit and pulling, the stitch length at times is uneven. Now, there's some extent that, you know, some unevenness is okay. I'm not such a perfectionist. It's not my intention to make this look like it was done by a computer and a machine and no human was involved in the quilting of this quilt. But there are times where it's just like there were some big stitches. And in fact, they just didn't even look stable. So I have unquilted. I mean, the good thing about, first of all, with big stitches, they come out really easily. And that's another thing about straight line quilting. It is much easier to unquilt or dequilt the quilt. It just is. You're just not. I think sometimes when you're doing free motion quilting and you're doing circles and spirals, you can, if you're me at least, sometimes lose control. Like, it's a really good thing you're driving a machine and not driving a car, because you can get a little fast and your stitches are getting really small. And then when you mess up and having to pluck out those small stitches, it can be the work of a lifetime. It feels that way. It can take so long. Whereas I don't have those kind of teeny-tiny, almost impossible to get out stitches with the straight line quilting. I'm using my stitch. Now I can't think of what it is. My de-stitcher, the thing that I am using to pull out stitches. Do you know the weirdest word just came to me? The twerker. It's not a twerker, but I think from now on I'm going to call my little razor blade thingy a stitch twerker. That's my new. I don't know why I don't, but I love it so much already. So my stitch twerker, it's the one with it has like razor blades, like little, it's really scary. I have cut myself with it, not deeply. You don't have to even get deep on that thing. You can just sort of wave it above your skin and you will get a cut. It's that sharp, which makes it really, really effective in cutting thread. Unfortunately, I think it can make it a little too effective in tearing fabric in a way that my other stitch puller remover, the other thing is not something, it doesn't feel twerky. But we're just all stitch removers, all those things. We're calling them stitch twerkers from now on. So my other stitch twerker. So now maybe we can't call them stitch twerkers, because that is hard to say three times fast. It's just the $6 kind you get at Joann's, and that. I don't know. I feel like I've dug that into some fabric too. But in any event, you know, I am using Kona and I got to get out of that habit, but I just, as I believe I've said, I wanted to get going on this quilt, and Thimble Pleasures only carries Kona. And later I thought, you know, there's a Hancock's kind of the opposite direction of Thimble Pleasures, and they carry other solids. Now, I don't know if they're good solids or not, and I have a list somewhere, when I was talking about solids a little while ago and people were recommending solids, and I need to write down those names. You know, one day, I swear, one day I'm going to go through all my comments and compile all the good advice. Maybe that's what I'll do for my 10-year anniversary. Yes, I will. You know, I'm almost at my 5-year. I got to figure out what I'm going to do about that. You know, I'm so like envious or admiring of Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us, because she always like gets great stuff and gets, I don't know, plans ahead. She's organized. She's so organized. I'm just like, yeah, who? I'll write somebody a check for $20. Leave a comment. Happy anniversary. Happy podcast anniversary. Yes. But maybe at my 10th podcast anniversary, I will actually put together a book of funny comments and helpful hints and recommendations from you guys. I'm getting some, you know what's interesting too, is I'm getting a lot of comments. I just posted the last episode on Monday, and I've already got a number of wonderful comments. I love that, like the most recent comment was from Kelly the Fifth, who is nice to, I think she's coming back because the birds are back on my porch. Now, I'm sitting inside right now, but I did open a window, Kelly, in case the bird sounds can be heard. I don't know if they can or not. It's not the same as being on the porch, but it's kind of a cold and rainy day today. Not that I'm complaining, but it does mean I'm not that crazy about the idea of hanging out on the porch. So, but I did open a window. But anyway, Kelly the Fifth commented yesterday, but she wasn't commenting on the podcast. She was commenting to another commenter about Scotland and how much she loves Scotland. And I think the other commenter was Ellen, and Ellen is coming to Paducah from the UK, which totally jealous. And so Kelly the Fifth is saying, hey, have a great time in Paducah. I'm like, hello, I'm here too. Anyway, but I think it's neat. I love my comments. I love comments. And this, some episodes don't get many. I think the more regular I am in my posting, the more comments I get. But you know that I love them. All right. So, the stitch twerker have been twerking stitches. And, yes, because I do want a little bit more uniformity in places where there just hasn't been. And yes, I'm going to figure out the problem with the super slider so I can use that again, because I think that will really help my situation. So I don't, my big plan, my big thought was I'm going to have this quilt done by Friday, the quilting of it, so that this weekend, well, one, that I can clean my house, good grief, and get into my attic, double good grief. I'm just not there. And I'm on page 90 of this manuscript I'm working on. And my manuscripts, the first drafts are often, you know, between 120 and 150. And so I'm right at this turning point in the story where everything, we're about to take that slow, imagine you're on a roller coaster and think about the roller coaster going up, 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 up the hill, and then hits the top and all of a sudden goes down, right? And that's where this sort of, everyone starts screaming because all this crazy stuff is happening. That's where I am in the plot, where all the problems seem to come together and kind of this big explosion. And the protagonist has to get through that and on the other side of it. So it's a really big place to be in a draft, and that's the place that I am in. So it's very hard to, you know, yesterday, you know, usually I write from 9 till noon, and yesterday I just kept going, and it was like writing till 2, and you just get into this stuff. So, yeah, my house is just a mess. Golly, it really is. But I'm not done with the quilting. I'm not going to be done with the quilting. I hope to get some work done on it today, tomorrow, all weekend. It's going to happen. But you know, I have to say, too, I was thinking about this. When I finish it, I won't have anything to quilt. I'll have stuff to make. I'll have my sampler block to make. I have a couple more blocks to make for the In the Garden quilt. But I won't actually be quilting a quilt. And I really like quilting a quilt. So my next thing, making my basket for my sampler quilt. And then I think I'm going to finish that In the Garden quilt and ponder what people have suggested for the sashing and get that ready to quilt. I don't know what I'm going to do with that quilt. The colors aren't really colors that we have in this house. It's possible I'll donate it. I like the idea. It's a nice quilt. I'll have to talk to my mom since we gave each other this Block of the Month Club quilt to construct. She has a problem with me actually giving that away. I might. I might not. Who knows? So that's where I am quilty-wise. Unquilting, dequilting, twerking the stitches that I don't want anymore. I like that stitch twerker. Yeah, that works for me. And so what else? You know what I have been doing this week, which I've enjoyed and is giving me ideas, is I have been looking at some old quilters newsletters. When I went to Uncle Eli's quilting party, which was 2 weeks ago, I picked up some free magazines from the free magazine table. And, well, actually, I donated some books and got a book, The Wonderful Clues in the Calico. And I picked up some quilters newsletters from the 1980s. So there are some from 1985 and some from 1989. I think I picked up four or five. And, you know, it's so interesting to read them. Now, I have a complete set of quilters newsletters from 1975. I actually just on eBay put a bid, like a $10 bid, on the complete 1972. Because I'm thinking it's like, it would be interesting to follow the trends documented in Quilter's newsletter from its beginning, its inception, which was in 1969, right, till now. Which is, it's a lot of time. We're talking, we're talking like 45, 46 years. But it's this period of quilt making that has gone on in a fairly uninterrupted manner. So now, in 69, when Bonnie Lehman started, and I think you say her last name Lehman, but it might be Lehman. If you know, let me know. I'm saying Lehman until I'm told otherwise. You know, when she started it, quilting was still in a slump, sort of a post-World War II slump. And there was starting to be little bits and pieces of interest in the academy as the feminist movement grew and people started getting interested in women's work and domesticity as a field of study. So there was some interest in quilts that way. And then, of course, we have the big 1971 Whitney quilt exhibit. And then, but really, I think in terms of what we do as everyday ordinary quilters, probably we could say that the movement, that this very long trend of sustained interest in quilting probably started in 1976 with the bicentennial. And I haven't looked at the numbers. I don't know if there have been real dips. Now, we know that the number of active quilters has gone down a bit, say, since 2000. Since 2010, and maybe even earlier than that. I think, you know, post 9/11, there was just a huge crafting boom in general as people were settling down. Like, I think I'll stay home tonight. But really enjoying the comfort of home. But still, you know, so there have been ebbs and flows, but that's different than just no general interest in quilting in the culture at large. So, and at this point, I think quilters are a fairly large subculture of the culture. So it'd be interesting to follow, to go through not every single magazine, although I love reading them. And the 1985 editions, there's a wonderful Jean Lowry, who I've talked about before. If you want to know more about her, go to the International Quilt Study Center site, and there's a really wonderful lecture on her. And she was a quilt maker and an artist and a feminist and very funny and made funny, witty quilts. But she had a column, you know, in Quilter's Newsletter. And there are a lot of people that write in because, you know, this is the 80s. This is pre-internet. And if you wanted to be connected with other quilters outside of your immediate community, well, you wrote letters to Quilter's Newsletter or other quilters' magazines, and you submitted your photographs, and you had your name listed as someone who might want to be your pen pal. And it's all quite lovely, and in retrospect, of course, seems very charming to see ads that don't have website addresses. And, you know, so, but even in 1985, I've looked at these 1975 quilters newsletters, and the quilts are still, they're very traditional, as one might imagine. I don't recall, but I can't say for sure they're not pictures of people's quilts. But the quilts in the that are showcased in the 1985 issue that I've been looking at of Quilters Newsletter, people have sent in pictures of their quilts, and some of them are really quite funky and neat and innovative. Although I think quilts have always been funky and neat and innovative, but certainly people are forging their own paths. Although again, I would argue people kind of always, quilters have always kind of forged their own paths. So I don't really seem to be making any kind of argument here, except that I find it all interesting. But it would be interesting too to see how do the ads change? What's changed over the years? What's being advertised? What's being emphasized? What changes does the magazine make in its editorial content that reflects changes in the larger quilting culture? I don't know. I just kind of think, yes, I have time to take on this project, right? Yeah. No, but it's something that I think too, as someone who's interested in quilt history, I'm like, well, what is the quilt history that's being done on this past 40 years, which is a really important period in American quilt history, because it's a big period and it's a lot of people quilting, and a lot of quilts being made. Maybe, you know, no, that sounds like heresy. So maybe too many quilts. I was thinking about that too, though, that, you know, what's the difference between being a quilter now and being a quilter in 1985? And we certainly have so much neat stuff available to us, from really beautiful, amazing fabrics, patterns, classes online and locally, but particularly for those of us who don't have a local quilt shop or a local guild. I just think Craftsy rocks. It's just amazing. And but does anyone know, has Craftsy, you know, the last, I guess the first quilt con in Austin, you know, they posted all those videos of the lectures. And does anyone know if they're planning on doing that again or if they've done that again? Because I would love to watch the lectures from the 2015 Quilt Con. Any event. Yeah, I've thrown myself off. Oh, just the stuff that we have available to us, all the magazines and podcasts and neat stuff. But I'd be interested how, I mean, and we, you know, history comes along later, right? Are we judged by history? I don't know. Are we judged by the future? I don't know. I don't know how to put this. But it's like, in some ways, as I feel in my general life, it's like too much stuff. And sometimes I feel that in quilty life as well. And, you know, and although I am not against an easy quilt. But I'm in theory against the idea of just a quick quilt. Because, you know, I mean, yeah, we've talked about this. So that's what I'd be interested to see, like in the 80s or the 70s, was there much talk about quilts? Quilt in a weekend, quilt in a day. I mean, I guess, is it Eleanor Burns? Is she quilt in the day? She's been around for a while, so we'll find out. I will go into my studies and I will come back and tell you everything that I discover. But yeah, but it is interesting to have such a sustained period of quilt making. And but there've been a lot of they've got you know who's quilting and what kind of quilts we're making. I have seen some quilt magazines from the 90s going, may not have aesthetically been our best time. But I'm going to research and find out. All right, well, that is it for today. I'm going to try to be doing the podcast more weekly, but I would like to wait until Monday night to finish up because I'd like to be able to report on the Quilt Guild meeting with Peppa Corey. Peppa. She's from Michigan. I got some comments from Noni, and I had just read her bio on her website, and she's actually from Michigan and moved to North Carolina a little while back with her husband to retire. And so she probably does not say, "Hello, I'm Peppa Corey," which is disappointing to me because I would like to say, "Hello, Peppa Corey." Yes. All right, now I'm rambling, and that is always a sign it's time to say goodbye for now.
Quilt Diary Day 1 ETA, edited to add. Of course, what I meant was a seam ripper, but I am going to stick with stitch twerker. Thank you. Also, I keep referring to a super slider. It's really a supreme slider. Okay, just thought I'd add those things. On with the program. Quilt Diary Day 1, Part 3. It's night now. I'm working on quilting the big star. Made two really big discoveries that I think prove I'm not all that bright. We've had many occurrences over the last 5 years that we've been here together in podcast land where occurrences that have suggested, not that bright. I think this one is perhaps the frosting on the cake, which, because I was just talking earlier today, kind of how I'm struggling, how maybe I needed this to put my supreme slider back because I felt like I was really having to pull at the fabric to get it through. Well, the first thing that occurred to me this evening is, of course, you know what? I am quilting without using a walking foot. I'm so used to free motion quilting with the darning foot that I forgot almost that I had a walking foot. And so I thought, that's the problem. I'm not using my walking foot for the quilting. So I put on my walking foot. Made it a little better, but I thought, wow, this is really still kind of just tough. I really feel like I'm having to pull this fabric through. And then I thought, I wonder if the feed dogs are up. And guess what, dear listener? They were not. Yeah. If you've looked at the pictures from last week, you can see I've already done a lot of pretty intense quilting, lots and lots. And yeah, I think I did all of it with the feed dogs down. Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to share that with you in case there were any possibility I could forget. Just how really clueless I am sometimes. Just sharing. Now, don't you feel smart? I hope so. I hope one of us does. Talk to you later.
I think for many years, well, like 2 years, I did a Monday night Bible study. And then also when the legislature, the North Carolina legislature, is in session, the man is often there covering the legislators. So when the boys were younger, it just wasn't convenient to go. But now they're old. They're old men, almost 16. Jack turned 16 in a week from today on the 27th. And Will is 12 and a half. And I can leave them, even with the man gone, I can leave them for a couple hours, and they are absolutely fine. So I went, renewed my membership, and listened to a really interesting lecture by Pepper Corey. Love Pepper Corey. She is going to be like my new best friend. You know, Annie Smith, you know Annie to me, but Annie Smith to you know, you and your friends. she's still up there, but Pepper is cool. I mean, Annie's cool too. I love Annie. Annie's always got a special place in my heart, but Pepper's going to be on my best friend list. And she brought this amazing collection of quilts. So she is a teacher. In fact, she taught classes this weekend and that just didn't work for me at all, sadly. But she is a designer. She is a fabric designer. And she says, if you want to make absolutely no money, go into fabric design. And she is also a quilt historian. And as I think I mentioned last week, one of my other new best friends, Lynn Gorgeous, who I spoke with on the phone, we connected through the American Quilt Study Group. When I told her Pepper Corey was going to be the speaker, you know, she said, she said, you have to go. I'm emailing Pepper. And she emailed me and said, yes, I've emailed Pepper. You have to go introduce yourself, etc. So I did. But first, just the Pepper's presentation. She has an amazing collection of North Carolina quilts. And she presented them. They were beautiful. Interesting quilt. She has done some reproductions herself, so she showed us some of her quilts inspired by the quilts that she has collected. She was lived in Michigan for a long time, and Noni posted a comment saying that she had seen, I can't remember, she said she had taken classes with Pepper Corey, my new best friend, but definitely had some experience with her. And then I also heard from Tori, emailed me, Tori, who has broken my heart because her son Eric, no, I guess Eric has broken my heart because he got into NC State and could have come to NC State, but he's going to go to a school up in Maryland, closer to home. And I understand that, but I was really looking to having 4 more years of Tori and her family coming down like they did when her daughter was at State and getting together with Tori. In any event, Tori emailed me today and said she'd had a class fairly recently with Pepper Corey. And don't you just love saying Pepper Corey? I wish you were Southern because then you say Pepper Corey. I think I've done that bit, haven't I? Yes, I have. All right, none of that. No more of that. Although it's just fun. Pepper Corey. Yes, I know Pepper Corey. It's hard to resist saying that. But anyway, so Tori said she had recently had a class with Pepper, as I call her, and it was great. And then she sent me the quilt she'd made through the class, and it was lovely. It was really just charming. And so anyway, I suspect if you have a chance to hear Pepper talk or take a class with her, you should. I love looking at her quilts, and she's a very knowledgeable speaker, but entertaining speaker as well. And oh, so she was in Michigan, and then when her first marriage ended and she met her second husband, they had vacationed. They vacationed quite a bit in North Carolina on the Outer Banks, and decided to move here. And they did. He was an artist and thinks she's an artist too, which she clearly is. And she loves Ocracoke. Yes, don't we all? We've got our reservations. We'll be there in June. Woo-hoo! Anyway, so she talked about her, you know, a little bit, gave some of her history. One of the things she said, quilting has never been a profitable business because we share. That's right. We've talked about that. Let's see. Anyway, so she talked about how she started her collection, went through these quilts. Most of them were antique. One of the things that she said that I thought was so interesting, you know, she was talking about how quilting has changed over the years and how, you know, in the 20th century, you know, starting in the really in the 20s and 30s, all of a sudden there were all these quilt patterns available through magazines and newspapers, and quilting became less regional as a result. Not entirely so, but still was less regional. And she said that she felt the 21st century quilting and 21st century quilts, what we'll be looking at and what will distinguish them is the fabrics. The fabrics nowadays are so designer centric that we will look at our, what one thing we'll be looking at when we look at quilts that we're making right, is who made the fabric? What line is that from? Is that a Pepper Corey fabric? Is that, so, you know, I don't even pay attention to designers because I can't think of another designer, but you know, you insert a name here. Is that a blank fabric? Is that a such and such? Is that, you know, K facet. I can do that. But you know, or whoever we're loving. I'm thinking of like vague names like, oh yeah, there's that woman that everybody loves. I can't think of her name though. But that's what one of the things that we'll be looking at. And, you know, are people using, does the quilt use fabrics all from the same line and the same designer or mixing and matching? But the fabric designers, although apparently there's no money in it, have become more and more important. Amy Butler, here's another one. See, a new one. You know, much more so. I mean, that's not even discussed about when you're discussed when you're looking at antique quilts. Who designed the fabric? That's a non-issue. But nowadays, it really is. So I thought that was interesting. So discuss. Tell me what you think. It was interesting what she said. She has this really broad collection of antique North Carolina quilts, including a quilt made by a Lumbee Indian. The Lumbees are a tribe, as of yet unrecognized by the federal government, but a tribe in the eastern part of the state. And this beautiful Lone Star quilt. Is it a Lone Star? I think it was. That she bought. And she said, yes, the one area where my collection is lacking is an African-American quilt. Whoops, the man is home, so I will come back later. Okay, so where was I? It is now Tuesday, April, we're going to call it the 21st, because we liked how that sounds. Last we were speaking, I was talking about Peppercory, and then the man so rudely interrupted us by coming home from work. He is having dinner with a friend of ours, Dave, right now, so should not interrupt us, although I have to go in 15 minutes to pick up Jack from the debate banquet. Very proud to report that Jack, out of sheer necessity, learned how to tie a tie by himself today. Yes, because I have no idea how to tie a tie. You know, I don't wear ties. So, and in the past, when Jack's had to tie a tie, the man ties it for him, or he pre-ties the tie and leaves it for Jack. But anyway, but so Jack, here was a debate tournament, and he's trying to tie his tie, and he got out his phone and Googled how to tie a tie, and he took several tries, but he got it. So just one step closer to being a man. Anyway, so we're talking about Peppercory and her lack of African-American quilts in her North Carolina quilt collection. Well, I emailed Peppercory today. Yes, and it's possible that it was an insane kind of email, but I don't care all that much. I mean, she might think I'm insane, and that's okay. Then we'll never speak again. But I'm hoping she'll be interested, because I was thinking about it. And I thought, you know, I wonder if she knows about the African-American quilting traditions in Warren County, which I talked about. I don't know, it's probably been a couple months now since I went up to Warren County to visit with some folks from the Heritage Quilters and learn some interesting things while I was there. And so I shared some of it with Peppercory about the Olive Grove Quilters, which Olive Grove is a small community. It's not on a map anywhere, although there's like an Olive Grove Baptist Church. I don't even know if it's a township. I don't know if it has any official recognition or if it's just, you know, like here in Durham, there's the Walltown community. There's areas that are somewhat defined and people think of themselves as being of a particular community, but it's not official. So that may be the truth with Olive Grove as well. Any of it. So I just wrote her and said, you know, you should know that this community exists, that there may be, if you're looking for quilts for your collection, there might be some people you should talk to who might be able to lead you to quilts. But you know, of course I got obsessively into the history of all of it and sent her tons of links and blah, blah, blah. We'll see how it goes. By the way, Dawn, I need to email you. I haven't emailed you yet, and I haven't gotten a lot of good information, unfortunately, from the American Quilt Study Group gals about your quilts. But one of the things I noticed when I was going through some of the links to send to Peppercory is one of the Heritage Quilters' last name is Bullock, as is, and I think that's a family name on your mother-in-law's side, and it's actually a fairly common name in this area for in both black and white families. So anyway, but I thought that was interesting. Maybe we should do some sleuthing. I'll email you. All right, so now it's Tuesday. Now I have 9 minutes before I have to go. So here's what I want to tell you. I got a letter on Saturday from AQS Publications, and they have accepted my proposal for a book and a series. Now, the problem is, there's no problem. That's great news. Let's stop. Let's back up and say, that's really neat news. I was very excited to hear that they had read over the materials I sent them, the first two chapters of a book and an outline and summaries. They asked for a lot of stuff, and I sent it to them, and they read it, and they liked it. So, yay. Now, and it was a very nice letter. What I'll say is that it just sort of skipped over the here's how we do business part and said, you know, give me a call next week and we'll talk about manuscript due date. And that was sort of a leapfrogging over the whole, exactly what is, you know, what's the offer here? And I don't know what it is. And I'm curious to know. The problem is this week is, of course, Quilt Week in Paducah, Right. So I called on Monday and got the letter was from the director of publications. And I called on Monday and got her voicemail. And I just thought, you know what? As I was leaving a message, and I actually said this, I'm like, oh my goodness, it's quilt week. You know, I probably won't hear from you till next week. And I probably won't, because can you imagine? And as it turns out, the man did a little research on AQS and the publishing side of it. And it's not a huge venture. And you know, the magazine is very well done. And, you know, so you would think it was like a big bustling affair, but I don't think it is. So my guess is if you're director of publications of AQS, you're over doing the big show. Yeah, I wish I was over there. But anyway, so I don't expect to actually talk with this person until next week, probably the middle of next week, because I can imagine that all the offices are closed until Wednesday. They'll be so tired. But I don't know if this is a project that I'll go forward with AQS. I will go forward with it. I'm going to write the books. I'm excited about writing the books. But I need to know if it's a work for hire, which means that they would say, we will pay you X amount of dollars, and then the book is ours, and the series is ours, it would have to be lots and lots of X amount of dollars for me to agree to that. But it might be a different kind of deal that would be worth it because of the kind of marketing that AQS does. And that's one of the reasons I approached them first, was because they can really market the books. And they do market their books, and they do a very good job of marketing their books, which in this day and age is super important, particularly if you're writing for a specific audience, which I am. So I will keep you updated. I think I will know more. I hope I will know more next week. And whatever happens, I'm going forward with the books, whether it's with the AQS, which would be lovely. I would love to do that. Or if the man and I decide to start our own kind of boutique quilting press, which is a possibility. And to be honest, kind of excites me, because we could do some kind of funky quilting books as well as my novels and maybe some other people's novels. I don't know. But that's kind of a dream, but a possibility. Or whether or not I'm going to try to get an agent, or, you know, use some of my connections at Simon & Schuster. That's also a possibility, but weirdly kind of perhaps third in line of the possibilities. Not that I have not been anything but well-treated by Simon & Schuster. I want to be public and on the record about that. I've had a really, really good professional relationship with Simon & Schuster. But I think when you're writing such a specific genre for a very specific audience, it's a different kind of gig. So anyway, but that's good news. We're one step closer to something. And you guys have been so supportive of this idea that I just wanted to share that with you. I was hoping, before I remembered about it being Quilt Week in Paducah, I don't even know if they call it Quilt Week, but I call it Quilt Week in Paducah, that I would by this time have something to share with you about the next step, but I don't really. So I think I'm going to finish up. I would love to post this episode by tomorrow. I actually have pictures already. Big Star quilt, I'm hand sewing the binding to the back of the quilt, and I'm almost done. Don't know if I'll finish it tonight. If I don't finish it tonight, I'll definitely finish it tomorrow, because we have Broadchurch to watch. We've been watching Broadchurch, which is not as good this season, although I don't think it probably could be as good this season. Will, it's Will, not the man, even though Travis is barking. We are also watching Wolf Hall on PBS, which I highly recommend. It's really good. If you haven't started watching it, you can watch it on PBS online. The first episode is up till May 3rd. It's 3 episodes into the series, and we are really enjoying it. So if you haven't given that a shot, you might want to do that. But anyway, but tomorrow we've got Modern Family, Black-ish, and Broadchurch. So I have a lot of sewing time set in front of me to finish up this quilt and then wash it. I've done the label. And also, of course, the man's got to make the quilt video. Trying to think if there's anything else I need to tell you. I did finish Station 11, and I would highly recommend it. I really, really enjoyed it. There was a place I got to it. I thought, this is getting dark, and I don't know if I can do it. But it doesn't
that one place where it's starting to get dark and you're thinking, oh, it's going to turn into a dark novel. It didn't. I find it a super interesting, ultimately hopeful kind of book. So I would recommend Station 11 by Emily St. John something. Can't remember. Maybe I'll remember to post it. I'll do my best. I think that is it for this week. I hope you are having a very fine week yourself. And I think that's my final hope, is for your happiness. So until next time, remember, life is short. Quilt first. Bye.